call the board back in session.
Mr. Chairman, I do believe we had two people that were sworn in before that haven't had a chance to speak. I believe this is one of the gentlemen.
Okay, you finished?
I give up.
Okay, because out of respect, we're going to review it anyway, ma'am. Yeah, we certainly will.
Hi, my name is John Hefferly. I'm a longtime owner at Sea Pines Village. I've been there for over 24 years. We're also AT&T customers, and we've had AT&T service for about 5 years, and we've never really had any problems with the reception in the Bethany area. My question is, does the gap that AT&T identified using 1909 data still exist? I mean, I don't know about you, but when I go to a doctor won't even accept a blood test that's more than a month old. And I'm just wondering whether or not this data that they submitted in their application, which is dated 2009, is still as valid as it was then, and if the gap still exists. If it does exist, it's really hard to find. My wife and I, last Thursday, went out to find this elusive gap in coverage along Route 1 between the south end of South Bethany and Sussex Shores and the Sussex Shores Water Tower. I was driving. My wife was using her AT&T cell phone, and she noted the reception information as we drove. 0 bars, no reception. 5 bars was the maximum signal strength. Excuse me. What we found was that the reception along Route 1 from South Bethany to Sussex Shores Water Tower was excellent. That whole stretch, we did not get a reading of less than 3 bars. As a matter of fact, through Bethany, 75% of the readings were in the 4s and 5 bar range, which is a strong signal. We then took readings along the entire length of Pennsylvania Avenue, stopping at each intersection, and there are 16, and noting the reception that we got there. Again, the lowest reading in that whole stretch on Pennsylvania Avenue through Bethany was 3, and 63% of the readings were in the 4s and 5s. Okay, we went one street further, which is Atlantic Avenue. That's the one right along the coast. Again, the entire length through Bethany, and the lowest reading we found there was 3, with 56% of the readings in the 4s and 5s. Range. All right, still couldn't find it. So I said, let's go to the other side of Route 1. So we went down the entire length of Kent Avenue from Garfield all the way to Double Bridges Road. We had excellent reception with no reading in that whole stretch of less than 3 bars. All right, it's hiding someplace, so we decided, okay, let's kind of circle around. So we went through Cat Hill, which is right off of Kent Avenue and Double Bridges Road, right around that intersection there. And we had reliable cell service, with the average reading of 2.7 bars with no reading less than 2. We then crossed Route 1 over into Middlesex. We drove the length of Dune Road, which again goes parallel to Route 1, and stopping at each intersection, we averaged 3.8 bars with no reading of less than 3. Gap's got to be someplace. So I said, let's take the worst possible location. So I went to Sea Colony, to the high rises. I got 11 high rises over there. Most of them are 10, 11 stories. And the one in the middle is, I think, 17 stories. So I went in back of those buildings. I went close to the buildings, and I took readings. And the signal strength I found there was 4 to 5 bars. I just couldn't believe that. With that all those buildings blocking any signals to get there. But anyway, I wound up with four or five bars, and I went from the buildings right in, over to the beach, toward the ocean. And again, four to five bars. I can't explain. What I'd like AT&T to explain is why I couldn't find the gap in the service in the area that they said had a gap. And according to their application, they said the gap in service is along Route 1 traveling through the town of Bethany. That's where the gap is. I went through that whole area. I went left and right of the area. I went all around there. I couldn't find it. For that reason, I don't think that they were able to show that there is a need for the tower in the proposed location. Any questions?
No questions.
No, sir.
All right, thank you. I want to submit this letter.
I'll tell you. Thank you.
Have you been sworn in yet?
I have been sworn in.
Okay.
Laura Marriott.
That's right. Thank
Bethany
you.
Beach. I'm a member of the board of directors of the BBLA, Bethany Beach Landowner Association. We represent over 900 homeowners in Bethany Beach. I'll be short. We submitted a letter. It's in your packet. We strongly urge you to deny this application, as you rightly did in the previous hearing. I think there's been substantial adverse impact shown on the use of the properties. Thank you.
Okay, ma'am.
That letter didn't, one of the letters I received.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that the hour is getting late.
I already believe tried that one, bud.
Amazing, I tried that one.
Well, let me try again. And I think it's, time for us so that we can, like I said, to digest this. And what do you... up to this point, and I'm sure we're going to have a lot more. There's no rebuttal coming in. After that, we'll have rebuttal, and we're not in the shape to do that. I don't believe. If anyone else is, that's just tell me that. But I believe that we should adjourn this now until the next, till next Monday, if we can do that.
But we got this case here that didn't get a decide on.
You do have another case on
yeah,
on advisement.
I'm talking about this one.
But I don't know about having it scheduled for next Monday. Mr. Lank may have some more guidance on that one. Our next regular meeting isn't until the 9th of December. I know we have a bit of an extra Monday break, I believe, due to the Thanksgiving holiday. So. Right.
I don't know what the council's schedule is for chambers.
And I don't know
that
either.
We'll be able to find out until tomorrow, and we can't meet the 7-day notice requirement.
Yeah.
They need 7 days?
Why would you need 7 days? It's already been advertised.
It was advertised for this evening, which whether or not you put an agenda out, you have to have it out 7 days prior.
Yeah, he's
right. All public meetings have to have a 7-day notice period.
He's right.
Mr. Sharp, you wanted to just go to rebuttal and
conclude. Mr. Forsten is here. I don't know how long he would anticipate taking, but I do know that there was a wealth of information from the opposition, and I'm sure Mr. Forsten would be thorough in his response. So.
I am happy, let me just say to start, I'm happy to drive back to Middletown now. I've got a ways to drive, and so do other people who are here. And so if that means coming back at a later date and that's more convenient and better for you all, I want you all to be satisfied that you've done everything you've had and have had, given this the proper amount of attention.
Right.
So
right.
If you want to take a break now, I do have one witness here, Dr. Foster, and... I would maybe ask if you're so inclined to at least let him testify on rebuttal so he doesn't have to make the trip back. But we'll get him to come back if you want. So whatever you all think is best.
Up to you, Mr. Chairman.
I'll poll the board.
There's another issue, too.
Oh.
you asked for the first group to come up and speak. There were other people that were up to other than that.
Yeah, group. I was going to ask if there was any other folks.
There may be more speakers.
Oh, well, if there are more speakers, then I shouldn't be up here. I apologize.
Yeah, right.
I thought they were the one that were in that first group.
Is there up in the group that would like to speak in opposition, sir, back there?
I will be real brief.
Okay.
Come on up.
Is there anybody else I'll call one more time in the opposition and would like to speak? Please come up and be sworn in.
I just turned in my letter, though. John just turned in my letter. Can I get it back so I can?
No. No. I guess part of the record. No, you can have it back.
Oh. My viewer gauge is a little off at this point.
Nice move, Mr. Lank.
Can you state your name and address for the record?
I can get it. My name is Alexander Smith. I live at 38862 Bayberry Court, Ocean View, Delaware, and I'm an owner of 41 Sea Pine Village.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And Mr. Chairman, Mr. Smith, I believe, is going to testify, and I don't know if this lady plans on testifying as well.
Again, is there anybody else under opposition who would like to speak? This is the last call. Okay.
If you'd like, I'll swear her, and then we'll start with Mr. Smith. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Dana Girk, 33298 Laguna Drive, Unit 14, Sea Pines Village.
You swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir, I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You just wait for me.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I really will be brief. I just want to make a couple points. One thing that the applicant has proposed briefly is that the the cell tower is not going to interfere with the usage of the property, because hey, we can still rent it, we can still live in it. That's a ridiculous proposition. I mean, you could put a pig farm in the middle of Bethany and say everybody can still enjoy the property, they can still go out in the yard, they can still whatever. So just to say that that doesn't interfere with the usage is ridiculous. I think you all know that, so I'm not going to waste more time on that. The other thing I wanted to say is that, you know, I had intended to dress up a little better, come up here, but I didn't want to miss this hearing. I didn't want to miss this hearing because it's important. It's important to me. It's important to everybody who came out. We, as property owners, have, I think, spent over $170,000 so far on legal fees and homeowner associations, and we did it because it matters. It matters because we know at the bottom of our hearts that this affects our property values. That's why every time that we meet on this, nobody's sitting there saying, hey, let's stop fighting this. Hey, let's stop paying this money to fight this. It matters because we know. And so, you know, any implication that there's no economic impact of the cell tower, well, as I say, is ludicrous. We know it is, so much so that we've been able to put our time and money behind fighting this. But the applicant will say that this is another case of NIMBY, not in my backyard. It's all about, you know, how, you know, we don't want this cell tower in here. Well, I'm going to flip that around and say they want to say that we're concerned about losing a little bit of money on our property value for a public utility. I'm going to say that what they're really doing here is they are trying to expand their business at our expense. This is not about whether or not you can make a 911 call. This is not about whether they can find other ways to get coverage. This is about them having a profitable cell phone tower. Now, I don't fault Mr. Pepper, who owns the property, for wanting to do this. He's a businessman. He sells gas and food, and I think he's got some other stuff on that property. AT&T approached him and said, hey, you know, okay, can we put a cellular facility on your property? You'll make a little extra money. He says, sure, because he doesn't live there. Now, if the proper notice went out originally for this application, it would have quickly become obvious, as it did during the second hearing, that this was an inappropriate location. This area is surrounded by residences who know that this affects our area. And he wants to say that this is the applicant wants to say this is the only place they can put it. Well, Bethany said no. South Bethany said no. They've asked a lot of people to say they said no. If they asked the question the right way the first place, we would have said no too. But we didn't get that opportunity because of the failure of notice the first time around. AT&T has left their temporary tower there in place to try and build a case that it has to be there. They can't remove it or they'll lose their coverage. That's hogwash. They left it there to build their case, to come up with statistics saying, look how much the cell phone tower is used during July 4th weekend. I don't care where you put that cell phone tower along the beach on July 4th weekend. You're going to show good statistics for it. But they've left that tower up there in order to build their case. This is a strategic move. You all have asked them to remove their temporary tower after it was denied. They have not done it because they are building up statistics to try and make it look like this is a necessity. It is not a necessity. It is a business model. And I would ask the board respectively to look after our economic interest. We've been there longer, long before the cell phone tower was there, over AT&T's economic interest, because that's what this is all about. It's about money. It's not about service. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you all very much for allowing me to speak. My name is Dana Girk, and I am an owner of Unit 14, Sea Pines Village. I am here again to kindly request that you members of the Board of Adjustment once again reaffirm your unanimous decision that AT&T's proposal for a 100-foot cell phone tower currently is and still would substantially adversely affect us. To be perfectly frank with you all, AT&T's proposal for this cell tower is an insult to all of our intelligence. I feel rather ridiculous being up here presenting to adults appointed by distinguished council members that, metaphorically speaking, a 100-foot 4th of July sparkler placed directly above a 32,000-gallon powder keg is dangerous, and in the event that the tower were to fall, like many videos have shown these towers falling, not straight like AT&T claims that they will fall, this would be a highly dangerous situation that could injure and kill many people. Clearly, death is a substantial adverse effect. I'm going to skip my next paragraph because it talks about 911. I'll summarize my third paragraph because it was also about NIMBY, and that was wonderfully covered right before me. But the NIMBY argument is, in my opinion, also total hogwash because it is not accurate to compare a resort town or resort destination like Bethany Beach, where tourism and vacationing is the primary component of the culture, to any other classic backyard. There are approximately 114,761,359 households in America, and many of these other classic backyards are not within two blocks of the ocean, susceptible to tropical storms such as Hurricane Sandy, floodwaters, banner planes flying overhead. Clearly, Bethany Beach is not your classic backyard, and this is not your classic NIMBY. I stood before you all on March 21st, 2011, and I unrolled a long scroll that stretched out from one end of this room to the other. The scroll was a petition that I created on the change.org website, giving people a chance to voice their opinion on the proposed cell tower at this very location in Bethany Beach. The petition is closed now, but we were able to gather 585 signatures of people passionately wanting to stop the cell tower at this location in Bethany Beach. Since this is a resort town, we had signatures from people with homes here, summertime visitors to Bethany Beach who permanently live in one of the neighboring states, family members who look forward to 1-week-long trip every summer, college friends who come to visit, high school friends who reunite at the beach, etc. The people have spoken loud and clear, and they do not want this cell tower. In conclusion, and really the main reason why I want to read this letter, please once again listen to the people and reject AT&T's application for this 100-foot cell tower in Bethany Beach. This tower has and will continually substantially affect me monetarily, could result in my own death or the death of one of my loved ones. Finally, I would like to leave the greedy, money-hungry corporation with one final quote. Only when the last tree has died and the last river has been poisoned and the last fish has been caught will we realize that we can't eat money. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay. Now, what are we doing now? We're gonna have that witness come up, right?
I'm not going to bring my notes.
No, it's fine. You said you had to...
Dr. Foster, I believe he could testify tonight, and then I'll save the balance of the presentation for the future, assuming that's what you all want to do.
It's consensus.
Consensus, is, I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
PowerPoints.
Your pardon?
No PowerPoints. No PowerPoints.
No PowerPoints.
Yes.
Okay. Stand on this side this time. Dr. Foster, it's been a while. It seems like a long time since you've been up here. Could you just remind the board of your professional expertise and specialty?
Well, I'm a professor of biomedical engineering at the University of Pennsylvania. Registered professional engineer in Pennsylvania. In this context, I've been a consultant and analyst of human exposure to radio frequency energy. And I testified about the compliance of this proposed installation with FCC exposure limits for RF energy.
And we heard testimony a little while ago that this site perhaps might not be in compliance with the FCC regulations. I just want to hear from you. Is this site in compliance with FCC regulations or not?
Absolutely, by a very large margin.
And there was testimony about a sphere of as big as 60 feet where exposure would be exceed permitted levels. Was that calculation and was that testimony correct?
Absolutely not.
And could you elaborate?
The antennas that are used in this installation are called directional antennas, which means the beam is about 1 or 2 degrees wide in the vertical direction. It's quite broad in the horizontal direction. But if you could visualize the beam, you'd see a kind of pancake structure. And with a very worst-case calculation, I estimate that perhaps 40 feet in front of the antenna, 100 feet above the ground, the signal level may approach FCC limits. But if you move up or down a few feet, you get out of the main beam, and the signal level becomes very small. This sphere analogy only applies for an antenna that radiates equally in all directions, sort of like a light bulb, in which case the signal is about the same in all directions. But that is simply not the way that these antennas work. So the sphere analogy is just completely wrong.
Okay. I just wanted to clear that up for the record. I appreciate your doing that.
Thank you.
If any of the board members have any follow-up questions.
I point out also that 60-foot calculation was a hypothetical calculation, assuming the tower is fully built out with 4 carriers. And presumably any other carrier who would come before the board would have to do their own calculation showing that the combined exposure from all the applications on the site comply with FCC limits. Thank you.
At this time, then, I'm happy to recess until the pleasure of the board's next meeting or whenever you want to hear from us again.
Not necessarily do we have, Mr. Chairman, have to be a Monday.
I think the one thing we may have, Mr. Rickard, is to make sure that we have availability with this facility that on
right.
Whatever evening that is.
That's the reason I'm saying, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Monday to me. I don't know anybody else, but Mr. Lank could. What do you think?
Well, you can't do it on
Tuesday.
Certain night.
You can't do it on Tuesday.
Sometimes it would flow into the evening, but not that late. It's a typical council meeting day, but I have to check all those dates. Monday's more the obvious for the board, but that's the night the board usually meets, so you're better off trying to stick to a Monday.
And next week is Thanksgiving holiday
that's
as well.
What I'm
so,
right. You're already scheduled for a meeting on the 9th.
I would
be the first one in December.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's, I mean, do we have issues with security that late in the evening?
The same security is here.
Are they here?
You mean this early in the morning?
Different security officer here now than was here when we started, probably.
So make sure we have proper personnel if we were to have a hearing on a Monday night.
Yeah, we have to give due notice anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Not only to the public, but to the staff on.
I don't know why we got
to. I would think the earliest we'd probably be able to do it would be the December 2nd. The next week being Thanksgiving.
Is it really a hardship, Mr. Mike, to not have it on a Monday night so we can get this thing in? I know all these people are at, you know.
No, well, next week's Thanksgiving.
Right.
Week is going to screw up the following Monday, the 2nd.
It's not 7 days, so that'd be the 2nd.
7 days.
We'd have to verify the status of the 2nd.
Okay.
For its use in the chambers.
What is that? Is that a Monday?
That would be the 2nd of December, but I have to verify the status if it's available.
Okay.
I know that some of the courts use those chambers in certain evenings, but I'm not sure what those evenings are.
So we supersede them?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we adjourn the hearing until such time that can be scheduled by the county to conclude.
Difficulty with that is we have to send notice.
And if you do that, you've got to notice it. Would it be easier just to schedule for our next regular meeting on the 9th?
Then you get that other people.
Meeting on the 9th is scheduled for two workshop. Public hearings,
and a workshop.
And a workshop.
Yeah, that's the workshop.
Yeah, that night.
Can you move the workshop?
Already moved it once.
We got the workshop tonight. I've already done two of those.
What can the work on this workshop be moved?
Yeah, we moved it. I guess they moved it once. If you can move it, it's up to you.
Move it again and have it.
I believe the workshop's scheduled for about an hour. So it's.
But I mean, we can move it again.
We could request. I don't know if. I haven't talked to the council that's preparing it. I don't know if they've got something planned that evening. But.
Well, there may be some other agencies involved, too.
Yeah. I'm sure there are other agencies that are probably noticed for it. And we do have a hearing on the 16th as well.
There's two hearings on the 9th, plus the workshop.
Yeah.
I believe
it's
we haven't.
Too close. See, too close. All day. Because you got Thanksgiving next week, so I'd make the 7 days, it'd be hard. So you couldn't have
it. Can't do it next week.
No, it's not the same because of the holiday.
I think your best two options are either to try to finish it tonight or to have it on the 9th.
You guys,
have it on
the 9th.
Have it
tonight.
Add it to the 9th. No, I'm asking them. You either got two options: have it finish it tonight or have it on the 9th.
9th.
You want to finish it? He said that might end whichever way. What about you, Mr. Workman?
I'm fine on the 9th.
You fine with it tonight?
I'm fine.
You say you fine with tonight or 9th?
The 9th.
Nine.
We got rebuttal yet.
We still got a case.
We got to read all this stuff yet and go through it. Yeah.
There is a lot to digest.
Yeah, we might schedule again. We put it off until we get a chance to look at it again.
Yep.
Doesn't mean you're making a decision.
No. Yeah.
Well, I think
I want to go over a lot of this.
The next hearing will be an opportunity for the applicant to present his. Present the rebuttal evidence, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
And,
it might not be pushed as much, we're
theory of the record will be left open for that period of time as well. So.
Yeah, I think in all fairness, they would be rushing. If we try to finish tonight, he's going to rush. I'm sure you don't want to do that. To yourself, in all fairness to you, I'm trying to be fair to everybody.
I appreciate
all the heads together, but I do think in the best interest. And I feel sorry for being in opposition at the time, but they'd like to know. But 1 o'clock, and you're going to have rebuttal, and they're going to have something they want to say. And we still got other.
We're not going to say anything for rebuttal, but we can close it tonight. If we don't like the rest of the when you can add all kinds of stuff while I'm doing that. But we defer all the job. Sorry, sir.
I think we're already made a decision, right?
Yep.
Yep.
I'm waiting. All I need. needs a motion in.
We already made a decision tonight.
I think it needs to be a motion.
Yeah, motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we keep case number 11,296 open till the 9th of what, December? 9th of December.
For the purpose of rebuttal.
For the purpose of rebuttal. Thank you.
See, Lee, okay. So I got a motion by Mr. Rickards and a second by Mr. Mills that we leave case number 11,296 open till our next regular meeting, which is December the 9th, for the purpose only of a rebuttal. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Mr. Rickards?
Aye.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye.
Mr. Mills?
Aye.
Mr. Galloway? Aye. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11,296 will be left open.
Thank you. We will see you on the night.
Again, for the purpose of only rebuttal. Okay, now we still got another...